Glory, glory, glory. Well, let's go to Hebrews 5, 11 through 14, and I hope you just let me talk to you tonight. I want to teach you something, and I'll try to behave myself and not get too loud. I get wound up. Sometimes I just want to talk, and I get a little wound up. 5 and 11 out of the book of Hebrews. No one knows, but it looks like it's Paul's writings. He said, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, because seeing that ye are dull of hearing. You're not really with the program. I got a lot of things I want to say, but there's no need for me to say them because you're not really with the program. For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, just the very basic things, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. He's comparing the diet here of a baby to the diet of an adult in this life, and then putting it in a spiritual context. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, mature, even those who by reason of use, watch this, Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Those who have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I want to teach tonight from this thought, learn to discern. Learn to discern. I preached one time, there was two ways to find out something. You can learn or discern, right? You can learn it or discern it, but I want to put those two together and teach you today or tonight, hopefully, how to learn to discern, because you won't do it without learning. The senses, he said, were exercised to learn to discern. Amen. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, we ask you this evening that you be with us. Teach us this way of life. Lord, we can know your word and not know your way. We can know your will and not perform your way. But Lord, we ask you not only show us your will and your way, but let us be not only hearers of the word, as James said, but doers of the word. In the name of the Lord. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I wish that I could have got to you sooner. Sometimes, you know, when you go through, oh, now you tell me, you know. Many times you wouldn't have listened, and perhaps I'm the same way at times. I wouldn't listen to anybody, just had to do it my way, and I learned it the hard way. Somebody said, I went to the school of hard knocks. I went to the University of Hard Knocks and got a diploma in it. Amen. So we all learn some things you will not learn except by experiencing them. Can you say amen? Amen. The Bible says that we should be quick to listen, slow to speak. Our problem is we're quick to speak and slow to listen. If I want to know anything about you, I just listen. I'll lead you into conversation. Sometimes people come to see me. I won't be here but 5 minutes, and they'll be at my office 2 hours. You know why? I have led them into conversation. I can lead, not only intentionally do it, but that's just the way I am. I'll find out everything about you I want to know, and probably half more than I want to know, simply by leading you into conversation. How was your day, Brother Weaver? Was good? They treat you okay? No. And I can start with that and just keep going and going and going, and he'll start saying, yeah, my day, you know, my boss, and for long, he's telling me everything about him. I haven't said anything. I'm discerning. The more you hear, the more you're going to discern. But if you're too quick to speak yourself, the other person's discerning. They're discerning you. I have tried to teach my children and others as well. Anytime somebody is trying to sell you something, do something for you, and they're pushing you even the slightest bit, I'll get back with you on that. Well, then when you say that, you'll find out more how they're going to pressure you. Never, ever buy anything the first day. I'll always be back. Because it gives me time to discern and to think and even to pray. Sometimes, you know, really things you discern, you don't need to pray. Pray about it. If you can discern it, you don't need to pray about it. The reason David had to go to the Lord after the Ziklag and all his family was gone, he went to the Lord and prayed. He said, give me the ephod, because he could not discern what to do. Why? He was doing evil. Because he was doing evil, his power to discern was gone. So he had to go to the Lord and say, Lord, should I forbear or should I go? I don't know what to do. But had he been spiritual, number one, he wouldn't have lost at Ziklag. He wouldn't have lost that. The discernment is easy when you know what to do. And you will learn. I want to teach you tonight how to learn how to discern. And one of the most important things we'll ever do or ever learn is to discern. And if you'll learn to discern, then it will save you many heartaches in life. You have to be able to, the word discern means to be able to distinguish between two things. To separate it out. To divide it out and know the differences. Should I go? Should I forbear? I don't know what to do. Lord, help me. Discerning whether this is the one or should I wait for another? Is this he that should come or should I wait for another? Is this the one I should marry or should I wait for another? Should I continue to date this person or stop it right now? And if you don't use that power to discern, you will continue on in something till it overcomes you. And now you can discern all you want to. You're already swallowed up. Now you're going to know it the hard way. There's been many a person that went against what they could discern and they had to learn it when they could have discerned it. Are you with me tonight? Discernment comes by learning. Yes, it is a spiritual gift. I can read you the gifts of the Spirit, and it says, one of them, it says, the spirit of discernment. It's one of the spiritual gifts. That's one way of discerning. It's a spiritual gift. But that's not the only way to discern. This scripture here tells us that you exercise your senses, and this is what Paul's talking about. I'm going to show you. Exercising your senses to learn how to discern. 1 Corinthians 2 and 11 says, for what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? What I want to discern is your spirit. I want to discern your motive behind what you're doing and why you're so good to me. I want to know if you're so good to me because when I get through, you say, can I borrow your weed eater? You're going to loan me something so you can turn around and ask me. I need to discern that so I can tell you no to start with. Because people will take advantage of you. Am I helping anybody back there? Right? They will take advantage of you if you do not learn how to discern. And then you go, I'll never do that again. And you'll do it again and again. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of a man which is in a man? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. So that's carnal things, just discerning whether that person is trying to trick me or not. That, and you need to know that spiritually. But there's spiritual things you need to discern. Is that a wolf or a sheep? Come on. Or is that a sheep with wool, a wolf in sheep's clothing? You need to be able to discern that. Because they're not going to say, hey, I'm a wolf. I'm a false prophet. I came to trick you. They're not going to tell you that. You have to discern that. And only through spirit can you do that. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, not that necessarily that spirit, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but that which the Holy Ghost teacheth. It teaches us. Didn't it say the Holy Ghost would lead you and guide you into all truth? Didn't it say the Holy Ghost will teach you all truth? You didn't start out knowing all the truth, but you learn it as you go, and hopefully tonight you're still learning. Now he said, here's how the Holy Ghost teaches you, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You're going to compare spiritual to spirit. And have you ever been with somebody and said, my spirit don't quite jive with that spirit? Well, that's the moment you need to say, look, I'll get back with you on that. I'll see you later and maybe never see them later. But you need to pick up on that immediately. But the carnal man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. So your carnal man cannot decide whether this person is a wolf in sheep's clothing or a sheep in wolf's clothing. No, wolf in sheep's clothing. You can't discern that because it's spiritually known and not through man's wisdom. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Only spiritual people can discern spiritual things. If you're not spiritual, you won't discern spiritual things. It's that simple. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Meaning that he has the ability to see all things, but not everybody in the world has the ability to see him or judge him. Spiritual judgment is the ability to divide things out spiritually and know without any doubt that the motive behind something or someone and the intentions of someone before you ever engage with someone. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Didn't it say how many times? And he knowing their thoughts? Well, I know he was God and all that kind of stuff, but you know how he knew their thoughts? He was around them. He listened to them. This is how they talked. They looked how they acted. So he knew when they gathered around him what they were acting. When they asked him that question, he said, is John the Baptist, is that of men? Is his baptism of men or is it of God? And he said, I don't answer you except you ask me, I ask you a question with a question. And when they couldn't answer him, he said, I'd neither tell you. He discerned they were trying to trick him. And you have to discern this. That mind that was in Christ should also be in you. Can I just talk? We went to one of them Mexican Olay places, you know. My last trip there. I'm telling you, my last trip there. And it was my last trip there. Did y'all discern that? Did you catch that? That was my last trip, and it's my last trip. Because when the wait, and I've told you this before, but now it fits better with my sermon. I think I've told you this before. I can't discern whether I did or not. But when we went there, the lady was waiting on us was so nice. She's just a really nice lady, you know, And I told my wife, she's a good waitress. You know, you need anything else to drink? Okay. When we got ready to check out, she put our ticket down there, and I got my credit card out, and I forgot whether you go up front and pay for it there or they come get it. I get confused. And so when she came, I said, do I go up front? She said, no, I can take it. And something right there, she was quick to tell you, I think I'll take it. And instead of going to the front, she went to the back. I told my wife, she walked away. I said, she's stealing our credit card information. Did I tell you that? Right then and there, boom. I said, she's stealing our credit card information. And she walked back to the back. She came back as nice as she could be with my receipt and my credit card. Like, I didn't know they had a register back there, but okay. Well, about a week or so later, my wife, something in her triggered, check our credit card. 2 days later, which normally we pay it once a month. Something in her spirit said, check that credit card. She checked her credit card. There was two flights to Mexico. Paid their health insurance. And something else. I can't remember what it was. And she was able to stop it in enough time. Then I went right down to the police station and filed. But you see, that's discernment. That's discernment. I knew something wasn't right. This is not right. So, and then she had enough discernment to say, I better go check my credit card. Now you say, well, that is just about money. No, it was something she was doing wrong to me. It was an evil. And guess what? I tipped her 50%. You see, I was pure in what I was doing. Her intentions were evil. But the Lord quickened my spirit as soon as she took that credit card. I said, she's stealing our credit card information. I'm not leaving no more big tips, though. I learned my lesson. Paul writes this comparing the diet of babies to that of adults. And he said that he's using this kind of the parabolic way that Christ used many times of getting his point across. He said, I got so many things I really want to teach y'all, but you know, you're still so elementary.
Last time I was here, you was elementary. I came back and you're not advanced any further than you was when I came here several years ago. And I got so much more to tell you than I did then, but you're so dull of hearing that I can't tell you, meaning you're not capable of understanding it. So why waste my breath on people that's not capable of understanding it? And he begins to scold them. When you should be teaching others, and here we are trying to teach you again, Acts 2:38, and not to have fellowship with sinners. And what fellowship have Belial? I'm teaching you the very basics of living for God. When I got so many things I need you to grow in. So he's telling them he's comparing milk to steak. And Paul is trying to teach them spiritual discernment starts. Now, in his comparison, he's trying to teach us in his writings that spiritual discernment starts at a very early age, just as natural discernment starts at a very early age. Most of you have had children and you fed them milk when they were born. And for a while you fed them milk, 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 same thing. But let me tell you something. That little rascal can discern. You take that bottle of milk out and you say, well, it's time for apple juice, and see what happens. And as soon as you put apple juice where it was milk, they're going to immediately react to that apple juice. And you didn't tell them, hey, I'm putting apple juice in here. Now I'm going to trick you, you little rascal. They discerned it with their senses. Immediately they knew, that's formula. That ain't real milk. Don't fool me like that. Spit that out. They immediately begin to discern, and Paul's teaching them this. They immediately begin to discern with their senses that this ain't right. Now, I don't know what's wrong, but this ain't right. And you grow from there. So he said, for everyone that useth milk. Now, useth milk, adults drink milk. But using it means that's all you're doing. You're just drinking milk. Milk, same old milk, same old whoopee, same old this, same old that, same old song, same old this, same old that. It's the same old thing. Do you know you never grow on the same old thing? You cannot grow on the same old thing. See, everyone that gets the same old milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. He's comparing milk to righteousness. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. You can't give a baby a steak dinner, but you can give me a steak dinner and a glass of milk. I can swallow them both. There's nothing wrong with milk. He's not scolding them for milk. He said, at times you need to be off of that. But strong meat belong to them that are of full age, even to those who are by reason of use, have their senses exercised. They learn to discern. Now watch what they learn to discern. Good and evil. I have went back to Adam and Eve. Y'all are probably sick of hearing of Adam and Eve. I keep going back there. But this just fits with this sermon so good because it says their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And you remember when Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit, what really opened was their eyes of discernment to discern both good and evil. Now, can I tell you something? That was not a bad thing. That was not a bad thing. They just lost the good. Did you hear what I'm trying to tell you? They just lost all the good. Now they've got to make a decision. Now they got to set, and it's a good thing now because guess what? They lost the good. Now they're going to be out there in the world. Now they need to know good and evil. So that was a blessing actually from the Lord that their eyes was open. Now they can know good and evil because they'd already lost the good. And that's what Paul is telling us, that we need our senses exercised to know good and evil. And when their eyes were open, guess what? They knew, they learned good and evil. They had the power of discernment because they could not survive on their own without the power of discernment. And you can't either. You can't. The Bible says not to be as children, which have very little discernment and chase every wind of doctrine. He said, they'll say, oh, the Lord's over here. Well, I'm going to that revival over there. And, oh, the Lord's over here. And you chase the Lord over there. He said, I'm with you.
I'm with you. Discern that. He's with me. But strong meat belonged to them of the full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. Can I tell you, there's a lot of snakes in this world. There's a lot of snakes in this world, and plenty of those sheep's in wolf's clothing, or wolves in sheep's clothing, whichever one it is. And they have the power. We have to have the power to discern these types of people, because this is what keeps you from falling into a trap. And if you're not careful, if you don't use the power to discern, then what'll happen? You'll go through marriage after marriage after marriage after marriage, and job after job after job after job, and church after church after church after church, and pastor after pastor after pastor, and preacher after preacher after preacher, and it never ends. It never ends. Because you never learn to discern, this is not right. Some people have the spirit, I don't know why I wrote this, but I'll tell you anyway, the spirit of desert rather than the spirit of discernment. The spirit of desert. And I got to tell you why I wrote that. This somewhere's in my message, but I'm going to tell you now, because that's the spirit of desert. You got the spirit of the desert too? I'm going to help you tonight. Because now I'm not alone with this, what I'm fixing to tell you. You're just as guilty as I am. In fact, more. Because I have found my error. I want to help you find yours. Okay. I had a doctor's appointment coming up. I had one coming up just for routine physical, give blood. And so I know that appointment with Brother Valentine's coming up in a couple of days. And I go, ooh, I don't want to eat that because it's going to show up on my blood, you know, and I don't want the doctor looking at me. You know what the opposite of discernment is? Deceivement, to be deceived. And we were sitting there eating. I told Jerry I want to order. I said, well, I better not do that because I got to get my blood checked. And I told her, I said, that's stupid. That's absolutely stupid. I'm not fooling. What good does it do to fool the doctor? What good does that do? And the last person I want to fool is myself. That's the last person I want to fool. The greatest sin there is the easiest one to do. Fool yourself. Fool yourself. So I ordered what I wanted to order. I ate just like I would normally eat. And whatever it is, it is. But it's kind of foolish, isn't it? To say, well, I don't want the doctor to say I'm going to be and get a good report and go back to eating what you've been eating. Yeah. You have just fooled yourself. Okay. Get that little thing. And just hit yours. And what's this? I got it. 1 John 1 and 5 said, this then is the message. You ready for the message? This John's writing. He said, now here's the message, which we have heard of him. And declare unto you that God is light. Okay? And in him is no darkness at all. If we say, I want you to watch, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. We lie. And do not the truth. I'm a Christian. You're not following him. I'm a believer. I'm a this. I'm a that. And we're just saying it. He even told his disciples, you say I'm Lord. You say I'm Christ. But if you call me Lord and say you love me, then keep my commandments. But if we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another. If I walk with you and you got a light and I'm following you with the light, we have fellowship with that light. We both see with that light. You see, I see, we all see, right? We have fellowship with the one who has the light, with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, because of the light and because of the fellowship with the light, cleanseth us from all sins. That's what the light does. It exposes you of your sins. That's what it does. But it's his blood that's going to cleanse you of your sins. The light exposes you. The blood cleanses you. Amen. So we say, if we say, verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. This is the worst sin outside of blasphemy that you can possibly do, and it's the easiest one to do. Worst one, easiest to do. The Bible talks about this a young attorney came to Jesus, and he said, well, what do I have to do in inherit eternal life? He said, well, you know, you obey the commandments, love the Lord. I've done that from my youth. The Bible says, and he willing to justify himself. Willing to deceive his own self. He knew he wasn't ready. Because he walked away sorrowfully when the Lord told him, if you want to be made perfect, here you go, here's what you do. And he couldn't do it. Why do we deceive ourselves? Why do you do that? Why do you make yourself believe something? Well, the Lord loves me just like I am. No, he doesn't. Not if you're living in sin. Well, I'm one of his children. No, we're not. Well, you must be born again to be one of his children. And you must grow. You cannot stay on milk all the time. You deceive yourself. Amen. Well, it makes me feel good. You're deceiving yourself. Oh, Lord. Deceiving yourself is the lack of discernment. The lack to discern your own self. Who can know a man's own heart? It's exceedingly wicked. You have to discern. Why did I do that? Why am I thinking that? What makes me want to do that? The last person on earth I want to deceive is me. And that's why I'm telling you what I did. Because immediately when I said, well, I got to go to the doctor, I don't want my cholesterol to be high. I'm like, that is so stupid. Any other stupid people out there? So stupid. Because I'm not helping myself because I'm going to go right back to eating like I always do. Oh, Lord. I'm angry with myself. What did Adam and Eve do when their eyes were opened? They first saw their nakedness. They first discerned what they didn't discern before they touched the fruit. Their eyes was open just like the devil said, but not so they could be quote-unquote little gods, but so they could be as God and discern good and evil. And immediately when they discerned their evil, what did they do? Hide. You see, I really probably shouldn't be eating that, but if I don't eat it, I'll hide it and my numbers will look good. Then I can go back to doing it. No, I'm through with that. I grew up. Give me that steak because that's what I'm going to eat anyway. Let's see what it comes out. And if it comes out bad, I'll have to start cutting back. So y'all pray for me. 1 John 1:9 says, now watch this one. I read you where he says, if we say, now watch this, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and go beyond that and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess, he does forgive. But if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. We make him a liar. And his word is not in us. Notice that it said like 3 times, if we say, if we say, if we say. But 1 time it said if we confess. Because if you confess, it's over with. You can keep saying, saying, saying and never go anywhere. But when you confess, your sins are over with. Confession is the end of sin. All unrighteousness, I read this, I had to look it up, is sin. Anything that's not right is sin. He said, be upright. Man, that's better than right, right? That's upright in all your ways. Be above reproach between God, before God and man. Upright. So when Christ got ready to go to the cross, he said, what is truth? He said, thou sayest. And even Pilate had to come out and say, I find no fault in him. Why? Right in everything. Right in everything. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin that's not unto death. Amen. Righteousness are the things that are right in the sight of God. Now, there's another little saying a lot of times we say, it's quoted in a little phrase that says, to be upright and forthcoming. You ever heard that said? Be upright and forthcoming. Okay, so to be upright and forthcoming means you're ready to confess. You're ready to come forth.
so you can remain upright. Amen. Because when you're upright, when you do wrong, you can still stand upright. Because you can confess and stay upright. That's what he said. We can go back to Christ and say, forgive us of our sin, and remain upright. As they come tonight, the difference between babes in Christ and adults in Christ, he compared the usage of milk and meat. And there is a spiritual difference, listen close, to babes in Christ and adults in Christ when you look at what I'm fixing to say. The babes in Christ repent after they do it. The adults in Christ repent when they think it. Did you catch that? Because you won't do anything you don't think about. And everybody, if you say you don't have evil thoughts, you're a liar. You're a liar. And you make him a liar. But adults will not act on what they think, but they'll say, Lord, forgive me for that thought. Whereas children will do it and say, Lord, forgive me for what I did. Are you understanding? As an adult, my dad had to quit whipping me sooner or later, you know, I mean. Because I'm responsible now for my own thinking and my own doings. And I'm smart enough to think now ahead of what I do. Whereas a child, I didn't think about the consequences. I didn't think about how it hurt other people with what I did. I didn't think about it. I wasn't thinking about nothing but me. That's what babies think about. Nothing but me. Me, 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 me. And that's terrible to have that in a church. A bunch of babies in a church is a church full of trouble. Me, 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 me. Why didn't he call on me to sing? I didn't get to play. I didn't. No wonder David said, Brother Valentine, thy word have I hid in my heart. It's way down there. That I might not sin against thee. I put your word in my heart so I don't sin against you. So when we look, we understand the scriptures now better than ever before. In Hebrews 4 and 12 says, for the word of God, Paul said, this is what I put in my heart. The word of God is quick. Now, that word quick doesn't mean fast. It means living. It's alive. It knows. It's about all the time. It's moving. And it's powerful. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It goes both ways, piercing even to the dividing asunder. You know what that dividing asunder is? Total separation. When Abraham divided the parts, when you go back to Genesis, and he pulled them asunder, I mean, he put one over here and he put one way over there so that they can't come back together again. So he said, the word of God will help you discern, and it'll help you separate this from that. And so you don't get this and that too close. And you'll separate it out. It's a discerner, he said, a dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit. You know how close the soul and the spirit? It's like they're both invisible. And it's really, sometimes we talk, and it's like the soul. Sometimes we talk, it's the spirit. And sometimes we mean the same thing. It's like, but the Lord says, I can separate that out. I can put them on the east and the west. I can put them on the north. I can separate them out. And the joints and the marrow, if you look at your bone structure, you know, they're all tied together. One contributes to the other, but they're two different things. And he said, I can separate that out. And here's the part I like. And is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of a person's heart. He knows not only what you think, but he knows whether you intended on doing it. Because there's some things I think, but I don't intend on doing. Come on. There's some people I'd like to, but I don't intend on doing it. But every once in a while I say, Lord, forgive me. That's not what I need to think about. Because if that happens, you'll have malice in your heart. He's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. He knows how to separate that completely out. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked. Wow. And open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. He's able to see right through it. And that's what I'm trying to teach you tonight, is if you live a spiritual life, you'll see right through people. You'll see exactly what their intentions are.
They can put up a facade, put up a good front, and they put it up all you want to. But I'm looking right at that heart. And the Lord will help you to discern that and save you lots of problems and lots of mirrors. That drags you down spiritually, right? A lot of the bad decisions you made in this life drug you down spiritually. That's right. They weren't necessarily spiritual decisions, but they were decisions that turned out bad to come back and draw life out of you. The Bible says you shall know the truth. What it means is discern the truth. And the truth shall make you free. Stand with me tonight. If you want more discernment, get more spiritual. The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth liberally and upbraideth not. Everyone will have a decision to make, and those decisions can be life-changing. Scripture says there's multitudes and multitudes in the valley of decision. But you know, God's people shouldn't stay there in the valley of decision. I've had to make decisions, and you have too. But ask God to help you to make spiritual. And a lot of times when you make decisions, at first it can look like that was the wrong decision. But if you made it based on spirit and truth, you just wait and you will find out the spirit cannot lie. It cannot lie. Been a lot of decisions I've made, saying, well, I don't know. And then later on, Lord, thank God. Hallelujah. Lord, I'm thankful for your mercy and your grace and your truth. And Lord, the spiritual walk that we can have with you is unlimited. The amount of light that you can cast upon our path is unlimited. How far we can walk with you is unlimited. And everything we want, God, you can do exceedingly abundantly. It's unlimited, God. You're not a limited God. We're the only ones that limit you. Help us, Lord, to take the restraints off and the limits of you and let you be God in everything in our life. Lord, so you can give us whatever you want to give us, take from us whatever. I want our lives to be in your hands today, Lord. Those tonight that may be having to make decisions today, tomorrow, whenever it may be, Lord, I ask you, let them be spiritual so that when they walk in to make that decision, they have no doubt, this is what the Lord would have me to do. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. God bless you.